Amen. Thank you for that song. Psalm 139 this morning. Well, I hope you had a good Christmas and a good New Year. It's just 2 weeks away. We're really moving right along already for the second Sunday. And many of you are back from trips and things. We're glad each of you are here this morning with us. Our theme this year is, you see it on the board, the Lord is wonderful. And we can all say amen to that truth. Amen. Our God is wonderful. If you don't have that verse card, we have a verse card. It's all typed up and ready. That's out in the lobby. Please take that and read it, look at it, and know it in 2012 that our God is wonderful no matter what happens in your life in this year. There's a coworker who asked a friend why he got donuts if he was trying to diet. Sounds like a good theme after eating a lot around Christmas and New Year's. He said, well, I came around the corner where the donut shop was, and I told God, he prayed, he said, if he wanted me to buy some donuts to have a parking spot in the front. On the eighth time around, it was open. I hope that you don't pray like that and then attempt to manipulate the outcome of your prayers. A lot of times we can do that. Psalm 139, the last two verses, 23 and verse 24. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The way everlasting. The title of our message this morning is An Everlasting Way. And folks, this morning, I'd like to tell you this truth. You can do something in the present that lasts and has value in all eternity. There's an everlasting way, and believer, you can get in on it. And you can be a part of it. And you can do something that lasts for all of eternity. In America today, and in the world today, we have what we can term an identity crisis. People who do not know who they are. People who do not know what life is all about. There are Christians who do not know what their life is all about. An identity crisis. Just consider with me some of these truths. Sometimes you hear people say, well, be your own man. What they're saying really is to be like us. Go our way with life. Live like we do, where the Bible says that we're not to conform to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're not to be like others around us. So consider these identity crises before us. And this is amazing, and you might even laugh, and at the same time you might want to cry and think how sad it is that people are actually thinking like this in our lives and around us today. There's a gender identity. We have boys trying to be girls and girls trying to be boys. That's happening all around us. Just a few weeks ago, the Girl Scouts of Colorado said to a 7-year-old boy, him and his mother showed up one day and said, we want to be in the Girl Scouts. A 7-year-old boy. At first, the person balked at that, and finally it came on down from the head of whoever the Colorado Girl Scout Association head is. And here's what they said in their state in the Girl Scouts. They said, even if your body parts say that you are a boy, if you feel like a girl, we'll let you in. The Girl Scouts are not really Girl Scouts anymore. There's an identity crisis all around us. There's a social identity crisis. Tolerance classes are taught. We want to change your thinking about this. If you don't like what we think about whatever the social agenda is, then we're going to retrain you and reprogram you. And many of you in different businesses that you're in, you've already told me they're trying to teach us this, this, and the other about what to accept and what to tolerate and what not to accept and what to say and all that. And it's a retraining. There's a social identity crisis. We live in a day of a spiritual identity crisis. Our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, just signed a protocol. A protocol is one step away from a treaty. It has some teeth to it. It is an important document. But a protocol, it's not exactly a treaty, because if we sign a treaty, we're bound. It's saying that's the law of our land as well in negotiations and things. But a protocol is very similar, one step lower than a treaty. And she signed a treaty just within the last few weeks with a group of Muslim nations that condemned saying that any one religion is right and any other religion is wrong. And these nations have been trying to get America to say, well, you know, of course, we're infidels because of the West, and of course, being a Christian nation, all that, that they would say. So they've been trying to do this for a long time, but they said, if we could just let them say that, then we would have free course in America, and that's what their goal has been doing. And she signed that document saying that we attest as a nation that, you know, nobody can say one particular religion is the only way. Folks, Jesus said, I am the way. The only way, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the State Department may not believe it, but it's true. And we ought to believe it. And we need to know it. There's a spiritual identity crisis. Folks, the message that I'm preaching to you this morning, it would be illegal according to that protocol. It would not be accepted. I find that amazing today. Our national identity. Oh, by the way, that's called the Istanbul Protocol, if you want to look that up. Istanbul, Turkey is where all that took place. National identity. And this is incredible. Why ask if a person is a law-abiding citizen? Why would we even ask somebody that? You know, people around the borders and things. A national identity crisis. Who we are as a people, as a nation. Is that some kind of a political statement? No, it's not. But listen to this. God instituted nations and distinctions among nations and differences among nations. That wasn't my idea or yours. There were diversity among nations. But we're trying to tear that down all around the world. God did that. It was at the Tower of Babel, by the way. They all went out, had to create their own nations. Truth is politicized. Temptation is promoted, and as a result, people are misled. And that brings us to the passage before us today. There is an everlasting way, and there is a wicked way. And David was crying out to God, I don't want to be in the wicked way. Lord, you know my heart. You know what's going on in my life. You know what's going on around me. I don't want to go in this wicked way, but there's hope. There's an everlasting way. There's an everlasting way, and I encourage you to get in on the everlasting way of God. Here's another example, the Czech Republic. Or in the Czech Republic, there was a survey recently, a spiritual survey that was taken, and quite a few people, over 15,000 people, identified their religion as Jedi Knight. Is that from Star Wars or something? I've never seen that. I don't know. Jedi Knight. These guys are shaking their heads. It must be what it is. A man-made thing on television is what they're trusting for their eternity. Can you believe that? That's a crisis. It's a day of crisis in which we live. People are going their own way. People are esteeming themselves, evaluating themselves, believing themselves to be something they are not. Folks, where does your value come from? Many love self above all else, and so they'll get in on a way, and it seems good to them, but there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says that at least twice. Let's get in on the everlasting way of God. Oh, there's much hope when you think about it. I don't have to go the way of the world. I don't have to go the way of this wrong thinking. I can follow the Lord in an everlasting way. So here's the question this morning. Which way to go? This is our first point. It's a question. Which way should I go? Well, it seems pretty obvious. We want to follow the Lord. Amen for that? We want to follow Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. We want to follow this book. It's eternal. It's absolute. It's inerrant. It's a perfect book. It tells us the way to go. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That has to do with direction, knowing the way to go. And so we can follow the way of God. So which way to go? Those who love themselves and will follow their own direction, they have some wrong perspectives. Here are a few examples. Number one, many follow the wrong people. They're following the wrong people on top of that. In Matthew 15, verse 14, the Bible says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Doesn't that make sense? I don't know where I'm going, but follow me. Let's go. This is an absolutely sad story over in Mumbai, India. More than 200 Indian girls whose names, when they were named at birth, in the Hindi language, were named, and translated into our language, they were named unwanted. Unwanted. on their birth certificates, if we could read it, it says unwanted, not valuable, not worthwhile. Over 200 of these girls have a fresh start in life. The Central Indian District, they had a renaming ceremony a few weeks ago, and it gave the girls new dignity. And there's much gender discrimination in India. There are many more boys than girls, and if somebody has a girl, most of the times they leave her somewhere. They get rid of her. They discard her. You know, if those girls were to follow what their mama said about them when they were born, you're unwanted, there'd be no hope for them. No hope in life. They could follow a way and a life that says there's no hope, there's no reason for your being here, you have no purpose in life. And I'm glad they put on their best bows and their hair, they had braids, and they received new names. And they received names that said things like, I'm important, and I'm loved, and I'm beautiful, and I'm needed. And all just different names that had good meanings like that. Many people follow the wrong people. It's like the blind leading the blind. I'm glad this girl has some hope now that I am a person who has some dignity and value. Not only that, here's another example. Many follow the wrong philosophies. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There are philosophies. There are things built on vain deceit, empty lies. And they are philosophies that are being promoted today. And if you're not careful, and if you're not discerning, believer, even you can start to at least live like you believe those things. Many follow the wrong philosophies. Here's one of these other drastic examples. You know, our value is our identity in Christ. Who we are as a creation of God, created in the image of God. And a lot of people today are placing their value based upon what they look like. And here's an extreme example. 51-year-old plastic surgery addict, and there are people described as plastic surgery addicts. Her name is Sarah Burge. She's known as the human Barbie. She gave her daughter a $9,000 gift voucher for liposuction for her Christmas gift just a couple weeks ago. Now, what I didn't tell you was her daughter is 7 years old. Now, she doesn't need it yet. She's just a 7-year-old, but her mom's planning on her needing to improve her look somehow by having liposuction. 7 years old. Last year, she received a similar gift for her birthday, a voucher for breast implants. Her value is not in how she looks. We have an identity crisis today, and as a result, people are going their own way. People don't know who they are. Many follow the wrong people. Many follow the wrong philosophies. Many people are like 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead away a captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And all those things that mother gave to her daughter, it's all based on lust. And then there's another problem. Many people follow the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here are some wrong priorities. Pleasure. Here are some wrong priorities. Prominence. Here are some wrong priorities. I just need some power. And people are living and dying for all of these things. Wrong priorities. It's based on self-love, loving yourself. The Bible never tells us to love ourselves. Well, we're told to love others like we love ourselves, yes, but that's the preconceived idea that we love ourselves. It's already saying we love ourselves, and it's not something like, oh, you need to love yourself. God already knows that we do. We're selfish, stubborn people. And we already love ourselves way too much. Wrong priorities. It's based on pleasure. All about you. Here are some examples. We could talk about fornication, adultery, pornography. All of these things are based on a love of self, not on a love of others. Homosexuality. So maybe somebody would say, well, I'm a homosexual. I'm a homosexual, maybe somebody would say. You know the reason somebody thinks that? Is because they think that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isn't that what the Bible says? If somebody is constantly thinking about this, about themselves, they're going to act on it. And that's not necessarily who they are, but it's what they're thinking about and who they will be. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Now, why would somebody get to that point? How could someone get to a point where they would say something like that? It's a four-letter word. Are you ready? Here's what somebody's thinking about if they say or think something like that. It's a four-letter word. L-U-S-T. Lust. Lust. Any sin, sexual sin, and most of our sins are based on that four-letter word. L-U-S-T. You say, is that really true? Oh, yes. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, but every man is tempted. Oh, we're all tempted. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. His own lust. He's enticed by it. And so it's a form of selfish pleasure based on this lust. Fornication, adultery, pornography, all of these things. The wrong priorities. Do what is good for yourself is what they say. Live for happiness. Happiness is a byproduct. It is a byproduct of living right. I wonder, do you seek happiness in your life? Isn't that in our declaration, a statement, happiness? Happiness is a byproduct. The pursuit of happiness, it'll wear you out. The pursuit of happiness will wear a person out. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. These are all things that people are following. Which way should I go? Can we go? Should we go after man's way? Should I just live for happiness? After all, that's what I say, or that's what I'm seeking. I like a children's song that I don't know if our kids have sung it here yet or not, but happiness is to know the Savior. Living a life within His favor. Happiness is to know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you can have true happiness. It's a byproduct of knowing the Lord. So why, then, should I go God's way? Which way should I go is our first question. Number two, why should I go God's way? Back to our text in Psalm 139. We have all these other ways that people are going. And Psalm 139 tells us that we should go God's way. And here's why. Number one, He knows everything. Our God knows everything. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest me, my path, rather, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Listen, folks, God knows everything. He's worthy. He's worthy of your following His way. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. All of these sins that we spoke about, He knows what is needed in each person's life, in each situation. Why go God's way? Well, He knows everything. Number two, He is everywhere. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Can you actually run away from God? Some people have tried it. David was talking about it. He said, I couldn't do it. Jonah tried it. Did he make it? We can't get away from God. Look at the next verse. If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. What if I get on a plane and just go anywhere? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall lie about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. God is not only knowing of everything, but He's everywhere. You can't hide from God. I'm going to turn out the light. I'm going to close the door. I'm going to run away. I'll go somewhere else. You can't get away from God. I want to go a different way. You won't make it. You won't make it. God's everywhere. Why go God's way? Well, He knows everything. He is everywhere. Number three, He created you. He created me. Look in verse 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He created me. He created you. The word reigns here. It's a Hebrew word, and it also is connected with the word kedmes. It's a Hebrew idiom. They would have understood it to refer to the center of the emotions and morality that a person may have, the reins. The word substance that is used here, it's a word which refers to bones, and it has to do with a substantial part of his being. Aren't those ultrasounds incredible? You can look in there and you can see those arms and those legs, and there's a little hand, and oh, it's phenomenal. We have something that people for thousands of years didn't get to see. And David was describing how his reins, how his substance, how these things were all formed. In the lowest part, the darkness, the mystery of the womb is what he's talking about. And then in verse 16, there's another word for substance that is used. And it's a Hebrew word which has to do with being wrapped together. It's different than the word for bones in the other verse. It's one which means wrapped together. And that verse tells us that God is forming and making somebody in the womb according to His blueprint and plan. A blueprint. You mean God had a blueprint for my life? Oh, yes. Did He have a blueprint for your life today? Absolutely. That's why verse 16 is such a beautiful verse. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God just made you, and He created you out of what was in the womb. What a wonderful thing God did. Why should I follow God's way? He knows everything. He is everywhere. He created me. Verse 17, He loves you and He loves me. How precious. Something that's precious, valuable, are you. You're precious. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We don't usually use the word sum, but what's the sum? It means add all together. You're adding something all together. How great is the sum of God's love for you and His thoughts toward you. God loves you. Now this goes back to the identity crisis where we talked about just a moment ago. Where do we find our value? Why are some people, well, I'm important, and another person would say, well, I'm not that important. Why are we like that? Because we're finding our identity in someone or something other than where we find our true identity. And as a believer, your identity is not in what you do or where you live or what you work at, but in who you are in Christ. And your identity is Christ. God loves you. Where do I find my self-worth? Now, here's where most people get off track. And I already mentioned it. It's not because of your talent. I'm just a valuable person, you know. I'm valuable to the church. I'm valuable to my spouse. I'm important to my kids. I'm important to whoever. And we think that because of what we do, our talents. Maybe because of our treasure. Well, I have this much money in the bank, and, you know, if I get this much, then I'll be this important. That's not where we find our value. That's not what makes you important. Well, my mind is so brilliant. And I just have thinking and cognitive energy like nobody else. And I find my value in just, you know, being smarter than everyone around me. That's not where you find your value. What's the word that we use to describe ourselves? Christians. Christians. What's the first part of that word, the name, the title? Christ. Who are you? A Christian. A follower of Christ. That's where we find our identity. That's who we are if you're a believer. It's not I drive this car or I live here or I do this job. It's not that. And listen to this. This identity is very deep. It's very important to understand this. Because I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm forgiven. Amen? I have a new life in Christ. I'm a different person. My sins are paid for. I'm regenerated. I'm born again. You could just go on. I've repented. I'm restored. And all of these things are possible because you placed your faith in the God of this universe, Jesus Christ, who is the way. There's an everlasting way that you can get in on. And it begins by trusting Jesus Christ. Eternity is based not on your talent. It's not what you do that gets you there. It's what you do with Jesus Christ, to accept Him or to reject Him. You are a Christian if you have trusted Him. He loves you. Not only that, number five, He will judge me. He will judge me. He'll judge you. Look at verse 18. If I could count them, or should count them, this is the thoughts that God has towards us, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. This is just a beautiful passage. Now look at verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. David just described a group of wicked people, and God will judge. And God will judge all. He will judge me. Now, this morning, your eternity is not based on your works. Heaven is not a gift. By works, rather. It's not something that you earn. It's not an award, is what I'm trying to say. It's not a reward. It is a gift, but it's not a reward for your works. That's what I'm trying to say. Ooh. I have a reward here. I don't know why I said gift. But heaven is not a reward. Heaven is a gift, but it's not a reward. You know, you live this way, you honor me like that, then you can go to heaven. It's not what it is. Now, everyone's going to be judged one day. Unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And we're all judged according to our works. But they're there because they rejected Christ, and then their eternity is based not on their works, but on their rejection of Christ, the great white throne judgment. Then there's what's called, and it's for believers, the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not a judgment that will condemn, but it's a judgment of reward. And you can read about it in the Bible. Different passages speak to this effect, but you will be rewarded based on what you do for Christ. That's why the message title is, and the theme of our message is, what you do now can count for all of eternity. Because if you do honor the Lord, and if you do live for Him and follow His way, there is an everlasting way, then you will receive rewards. There are five crowns that the Bible speaks about. There's a soul-winning crown. There's a crown of faithfulness. There's a crown for different things such as that. And you can receive those rewards, and ultimately you will give those back to Christ. Here's something else about those rewards in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Paul is saying, I want to have a full reward when I get to heaven based on what I'm doing. But heaven itself is not a reward. Jesus is the way. You've got to get in on the way. And then there's an everlasting way in which you can earn those rewards that ultimately you'll give back to Christ. So why should I go God's way? He knows everything. He is everywhere. He created me. He loves me. And He will judge me. And He will judge you. Number three, where does this way lead? That's our third question, the third point this morning. Where does this way lead? Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Where does this way lead? Well, you'll start to develop right thinking. Our actions result because of right thinking. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 35, a few examples, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That may not make sense in a materialistic world, but it's true for the believer. He knows it's true. And it's true, no matter you believe it or not, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Another example, that we're to lose our life to save it, Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. You mean lose my life in order to save it? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I need to be all about self-preservation, what I can do to keep myself going and take care of myself and me. It doesn't make sense for us, but it's true. Lose your life to save it. Matthew 6:33. Another example, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What? Doesn't make sense. I don't know about that. If you're a believer, you can trust it and know it. Think it. Know it. Act upon it. Where does this way lead? It leads to right thinking, and right thinking leads to this, right living. Can I live a life that honors God now that results in an impact for all eternity? Absolutely. You can make right choices today that will impact for tomorrow. You can get in on the way of God. Right choices, right decisions, like the statement goes, with eternity's values in view. And then for all eternity, of course, we'll be serving God faithfully. I encourage you to follow the everlasting way of the Lord. Live a life right now that counts for all eternity. Does it save you? No. Let me extend to you an invitation to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Because heaven is a gift of God. You can't earn it. It's not a reward. Oh, I'm going to live good so I can get to heaven. No, it's not like that. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. And then if you're a believer, why not follow through with the things that you know God wants you to do? There are some believers, they refuse to be baptized. They don't want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why not identify with Christ and be baptized? There are some believers who are baptized and they're saved and, I don't serve in a church. I'm not a member of that church. Why not join a church to be a part of the local body so you can serve in that church? That's a good thing. I want to be involved. Join the church. Become part of the local body. You know, maybe you need to join a church. You can sing in the choir. Maybe you want to be an usher or serve in the children's ministries. Be a part of what God is doing here in this place. You can live now a life now that counts for all eternity. Between an airplane and every other form of locomotion or transportation, there's one big contrast. This is incredible. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. But an airplane is different than every other form of transportation. You take a horse and a wagon, an automobile, a bicycle, a locomotive, a speedboat, a battleship, a submarine, anything. It has its own power to go forward, but then it can stop and stay right where it's at. And of its own power, it can even start to back up. Folks, there are no reverse buttons in an airplane. If it stops, it stops. And there's no more going. It has to keep going forward. Christian, listen, keep going forward in your Christian life. Keep going forward. There is a way that's everlasting. There's an everlasting way, and you can get in on it. Don't go the way of the world. Don't follow after the whims of society. Don't get caught up in an identity crisis. Your identity is in Jesus Christ, and He sets you in a new direction. You have a new path to go. You have a new way to go, and you can just keep following, pursuing, and passionately following Jesus Christ in 2012. I encourage you to do that today. Do something that counts for all eternity. Follow the everlasting way of the Lord. Let's bow for prayer here this morning. Thank you for your good attention here today. Perhaps there are some this morning, you could be more faithful in 2012. You could be more in church more often. You might be the first time ever this year that you'll come to an evening service. Maybe be the first time you'll come to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Maybe you'll say, I want to start participating. I want to find a way to serve. Maybe you'll say that this year. You say, Pastor Harness, God spoke to me about this everlasting way of the Lord. I'd like to live now in such a way that it does count for eternity, that God's glorified now, He's glorified forever with eternity's values in view. God spoke to me about some matter here today. Would you raise your hand around the sanctuary? I'd like to live that way. Something that account for eternity. Amen. Amen. Good. Others? Would there be others? Amen. Thank you. May put your hands down. Maybe say, Pastor Harness, you spoke about eternal life. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. I'd like to receive that gift. I've been living like heaven's a reward. I've been trying to work for salvation, some religion, or by being kind or something. You fill in the blank with whatever it is. But I realize today that salvation is a gift. Heaven is a gift. I need to accept that gift. God spoke to me about that today. Would you raise your hand in the sanctuary at all? Amen. Good. Are there others? Amen. Others today. I'd like to receive that gift. Amen. Thank you. If you raise your hand just now in our invitation time, we want to show you from the Bible how to be saved. And we'll have someone take you to a side room and you can personally ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And He will save your soul today. In our invitation time, please come to the front and see me, and we'll have you speak with someone about salvation today.